in the sand. He's got my letters to deliver, but I'm still not mad. Oh, right there, that's the postman asleep in the sand. He's got a gift well called to deliver. He's going to do it by hand.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us in studio is Dr. Gray Brechin, an historical geographer and author. He is currently a visiting scholar in the UC Berkeley's Department of Geography, and he's the founder and project scholar of California's Living New Deal Project. His books include Farewell Promised Land, Waking from the California Dream, and Imperial San Francisco, Urban Power, Earthly Ruin. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dr. Gray Brechin.
Thanks, Lottie, and good to be here.
And just recently I spoke with Ellen Schultz, a veteran Pulitzer Prize-winning Wall Street Journal reporter who wrote written a new book called Retirement Heist, which is about how corporate America has eviscerated the pensions of its workers, and all the money's now going to the top executives. And this has all been enabled by the Congress. And in passing, she mentioned as a test case the U.S. Postal Service, how their pension plan is being used as an excuse to downsize the post office and sell off its assets, when in fact the pension plan's been in surplus for some time.
Yes.
You've been writing and studying the post office for some time, Dr. Gray Brechin. What's going on here? Is this a part of this kind of privatization mania that's going on in Congress?
Well, yes, it's part of the privatization of everything. It's what we call neoliberalism as a shortcut. But it began actually in 1971 when the post office was semi-privatized, and then in 2006 there was this cockamamie idea of fully funding the pensions for 75 years in the next 10 years, which is one of the reasons that it's having a crisis right now. But what's really going on is that the Postal Service sits on extraordinarily valuable real estate. It has an enormous portfolio of public property, which our parents and grandparents paid for. And there are a lot of developers who are just salivating to get their hands on that, as they are to the national and state parks, for example. It's a superb example of Naomi Klein's shock doctrine, the disaster capitalism. You manufacture a crisis, and then basically you've got a hell of a lot of assets that have to be liquidated. And the post office has some of the most valuable of all the government assets, because they are usually downtown, central, prime real estate. In large cities, they will take up entire city blocks in the downtown area. I'm particularly concerned about the physical properties themselves, because I've been studying the post office buildings themselves, and that's gotten kind of lost in the discussion of what we are going to lose in those post offices. They tend to be kind of the piazzas for American towns. They are where people come together in the downtown to transact business and meet one another. And they're very rapidly being sold off. Right now, there are 4,000 post offices that have either been sold or are about to be put on the auction block. And in the next 5 years, 16,000. That's about half of all American post offices are going to be sold off.
Again, I'm speaking with Dr. Gray Brechin. He's with the UC Berkeley's Department of Geography and founder and project scholar of the California Living New Deal Project. And you mentioned the Postal Service wants to close 2,500 post offices immediately, ending up with a total of 16,000 by 2020 being closed. They're also going to President Obama has apparently agreed to a plan to cut the Saturday delivery already. Mm-hmm. Essentially, what seems to be happening here, that the fate of the post office is in the hands of Darrell Issa.
Yes.
This California doctrine.
He receives funding from the Koch brothers.
So he's running this fire sale, and they're trumping up this idea of the pension liabilities, when in fact you just mentioned that they essentially were forced into funding these pensions on a fast track. So tell us about the nature of this, because it does sound like a bit of a scam here. You know, they're running a huge surplus in terms of their pension plan, but they can't even get their fingers on their hands on the fund, the post office.
No, this is why Ralph Nader actually has just written on this about it. It's a manufactured crisis. This doesn't have to be happening. In fact, the post office would be doing quite nicely without this deal that was wangled in 2006 that, as we look back at it now, seems to have been designed deliberately to destroy the post office. Of course, the Depression has helped a great deal, too, because that's enormously cut back on first-class delivery, as well as, of course, of the Internet as well, too.
Sure. But just explain the mechanics of how they use this legislation to set a trap for the post office and destroy it.
Well, as I understand it, the pension fund will have to be fully funded for 75 years in the future within 10 years. That's a phenomenal amount of money. And nobody else is required to do that. I don't know. I mean, you know, this was something that sort of slipped in under the radar. I don't think anybody particularly noticed it. But now we're noticing it because, of course, they're saying that we have no alternative. There is no alternative but to really start closing down the post office. And I think it's really a question of whether we're going to have a postal service very soon, at least a public postal service.
But specifically, what's happening here with this, the way they've set this fund, is that the post office has overpaid into its health and retirement funds,
right. Mm-hmm.
But it can't tap into these surplus funds because the Congressional Budget Office counts the surplus funds as a part of the existing budget, and any use of them would increase the deficit.
Yes.
That's the trick that they've played.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So in fact, they're running a surplus in their retirement and health care funds, but they're being closed down because of their retirement
yes.
and health care funds. I mean, amazing.
Yes, it is. My concern isn't so much that. It is the physical objects themselves and what we stand to lose, because there's been a fair amount of discussion about the Postal Service, and it's, you know, it's a great public service. It's kind of a miracle. But very few people are talking about the physical assets which belong to all of us. And this is part of the fire sale that's about to go on across the board of public properties. And so I want people to understand what the public domain is, because we're losing it. And I want them to look at those post offices under the New Deal, as part of the getting the country out of the Depression. 1,100 post offices were built around the country, and I've looked at quite a few of them. And what astonishes me about them is the quality of them, the beauty of them. And that wasn't accidental. The idea was that these would represent the majesty and the integrity of the federal government in each town. And that you see them all across the country. So many of them have artworks in them, for example.
For the WPA project.
Right? It was a different art project. It was the Treasury Section of Fine Arts that did federal buildings. But they were considered the creme de la creme of the art projects at that time. And so, you know, you go to a small town in North Dakota, and the only artwork in town will be in the post office, for example. And it will show people doing what they do in that town, ranching, mining, whatever, you know. And it often, go to the San Pedro post office, one of my favorites actually, you will see postal workers reflected to themselves in a public space. So it gave people the dignity of their labor. It reflected them back. They had never seen themselves reflected back in art before in public places. This was very important. And then, as I say, also just the quality of those buildings is amazing. Well, many of them are going to be put on the block very soon, and I'm sure many of them will be demolished. The artwork itself, which belongs to all of us, will be up for sale, as will much of the furniture in the post office. And the Minneapolis post office has astonishing Art Deco furniture that would cost a great deal if it was put on the auction block.
Well, already the Modesto post office has been scheduled, put on the auction block by the General Services Administration.
So is the Venice Post Office here, which has a very fine mural of Abbot Kinney.
So, and will these murals, what happens if they demolish the building? What happens to the murals?
Well, technically, they're supposed to be moved to another public place, but they were designed for a very specific place. So when you take them out of the post office, in fact, they look completely ripped from their contexts, and frequently they don't make much sense. And so there is actually – there was a small office of people in the Postal Service who were to track down and restore postal art, but I'm sure that they will be one of the first to go because art is obviously just superfluous, and it's another commodity that you can sell off.
And it was, in fact, turned into a kind of semi-corporation, wasn't it, back in the 70s?
Yes. There's actually a very good website, SaveThePostOffice.com. You can go there and find out what post offices are being closed around the country, but it has very fine essays, and there's one up right now by a postmaster who chose to be anonymous because it would be worth his job if he was actually known. And he said at that point, increasingly, the Postal Service became known as the company, and managerial jargon just permeated it. And that was part of the privatization of it. Mark Ames has also written a book called Going Postal about how the workplace, the conditions of work actually deteriorated very quickly. So that's why you began having these mass killings, which gave, you know, these mass slaughters the name Going Postal as it began to be privatized. And it's all part of setting this public service into a death spiral, so that it appears that there is no alternative but to destroy it. It's going on as in public parks, public schools, and everything else, and it's quite deliberate. A lot of this comes out of the Cato Institute, which is kind of a libertarian organization.
Funded by the Kochs.
Right? Yes, uh-huh.
Founded by them, I believe. They founded it.
Yes, it was, uh-huh.
Right.
And the idea is that there is no place in our country for public domain.
But even by their terms, you know, in terms of profits, the post office has been generating profits since the 1990s, and as of 2005, it was free of debt.
Yes.
So there isn't a financial crisis. That's the point that I'm finding astounding and why it's not getting more press.
Yes, well, you
and know, meanwhile, every day they put more and more of these valuable properties on the auction block.
Yes, and the New York Times just did an article, and it just fell for the company line that they've got a problem with the pension and that it's email that's cutting into it. They did not mention, in fact, that this is, you know, they should have gone deeper and said this is a manufactured crisis. This doesn't have to be happening, let alone the kind of intangibles of what a post office represents to a small town.
Well, we know that until about, what, 1968, the post, so 1966, the post office actually had a postal bank, which became incredibly popular. It's in Japan, for example, everybody uses the postal bank, and they have the highest savings rate in the world.
Yes, and Austria too.
And it used to be in America that way,
yes.
And it was the banking lobby that managed to get Congress to close down the postal bank in 1966, and then shortly thereafter, of course, we had the savings and loan disaster, and then in 2008, the banking meltdown.
Yes.
So, you know, we can see how that it's been under attack, if you will, for some time.
Yes.
But it seems like the attacks are really accelerating with Darrell Issa, and he seems like to have a fairly aggressive plan.
Absolutely. No, this is the end game. They're really going for it at this point. I mean, they feel that, you know, with a weak president and a rather fanatic House, and perhaps next year, another
they get
House.
If they get the Senate, then it's all over.
Then it's toast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can kiss it off.
The truth of the matter is just you know, apart from these wonderful buildings with all of these great murals and artwork, the truth of the matter is that it's an amazing service,
yes.
And it's still the cheapest in the world, isn't it? 44 cents to
yes.
get a stamp to go anywhere. They'll
yes.
trek it up into the wilds of Alaska.
Anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And they, you know, but for the imposed, you know, so-called free market efficiency that's driven people crazy and worked them to death, that they've gone postal. Otherwise, it's totally works, right?
It works magnificently, and it's one of those things that we've come to take for granted. You know, it's obligated to do universal service, which means that it serves everybody at the same price over an enormous area. And we've come to take this for granted. You know, in the work that I've been doing on the New Deal, I found recently a large scrapbook of WPA Works They were clippings at the State Library. And I realized that every small town in the San Joaquin Valley got schools, post offices, firehouses, roads, sidewalks, parks, etc. And there would always be a dedication ceremony. And people would be very grateful that the government had given them certain things at that time. And then almost immediately, they forget that. So that it's an invisible landscape that we at the Geography Department at Cal are mapping so that people will be aware of what government at its very best can do. And I think we've come to take the Postal Service for granted, like we have all these other things that we've been given.
Well, I think what you said earlier, though, Dr. Gray Brechin, again, historical geographer and author, currently visiting scholar at the UC Berkeley Department of Geography and founder and project scholar for California's Living New Deal Project. You mentioned earlier the kind of palazzo notion that this is a post offices were the town square. It's mm-hmm. where people could gather together and feel a sense of community. And, of course, that seems to have been lost across the board. What has replaced the American town square has been the mega churches and the malls.
Yes.
And that, of course, probably is Darrell Issa's dream, right? That, you know, get rid of these terrible symbols of government, the government that they have been propagandizing people for decades since Reagan to hate and believe to be the problem. What kind of pushback have you been able to organize here? Because these are public assets and great treasures that are being blithely taken away. And apparently, as I say, President Obama's agreed to a plan to cut the Saturday delivery. So I don't know how much of the Republican Kool-Aid he's drunk already, but it looks like
gallons.
So the whole thing is up. If they shut down 16,000 post offices by 2020, there'll be nothing left.
Well, there'll be half of them left at that point, but right. They'll go after that as well too.
Right.
Well, there actually have been rallies all over the country to try to save post offices because they're extremely important for other businesses, the private sector in these small towns because they're a magnet that still draws people downtown. That was really a problem with Modesto when they sold off that post office because then you have minimal service stations that move out to the malls. And why is anybody going to come around the downtown? So the merchants there were horrified when they found out that the post office was going to be closed down. And it's the same all over the country. So if you go to the website, SaveThePostOffice.com, you can find out, because there have been a lot of rallies and all kinds of opposition, and that's the sort of go-to place to find out what is being organized. But remember, again, this is like the Oklahoma land rush, again, for the public properties. Because it's the real estate under those buildings that developers really are lusting after.
The post office itself, though, the other way it seems that the Congress is trying to put them out of business is that when the post office requests an increase to raise costs, because we're still the lowest, at 44 cents is still the lowest in the world.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The Congress rebuffs them, right? That's another way that they seem to basically try to put them out of business.
Yes, there seems to be no way it can win.
Right.
And it seems that the present postmaster is completely with the program, Postmaster General Donahoe. He seems to be quite happy with this downsizing of this national treasure.
Right. Well, in other words, in 2010, the U.S. Postal Service requested a 5.6% increase to raise $3.2 billion, which is twice as much as the cost of ending Saturday delivery.
Yes.
So there's the fraud, right?
Yes.
They say we don't have any money, therefore we got to cut Saturday delivery, but they won't allow the post office to raise any funds.
It's absolute catch-22. They just, you know, they can't win.
So I just find this so amazing that that the people of this country don't know what's happened to this country.
Well, no, but of course a lot of that is because of the collapse of the mass media. You know, I mean, your station, of course, is an exception to that, But this issue is really not high on anybody's radar screen because, as I said, the New York Times carried an article.
But everybody goes to the post office, Gray.
Yes, I know.
And you know.
Ian, that's not altogether true, because part of the what's been going on over the last few years is a real degradation of service. Not home delivery, which I think is still superb, but I've noticed in especially the larger post offices, there has been a real deterioration in professionalism in the postal service. So when you go to a post office now, it's often an extremely long wait in very depressing conditions. Often the post office is dirty. It's not kept up. The people are kind of slovenly there, and so people don't want to go to the post office. I think this is part of the death spiral that has been manufactured for the post office. I find in the Bay Area where I live, it's sometimes better for me to drive out to West Marin to get my stamps, because it's a much more pleasant experience to go into a rural post office than it is into a downtown post office.
Well, just in closing, Gray Brechin, tell our audience how, if they've been inspired to realize that this unnecessary evisceration of this institution is happening because of these free market ideologues controlling the Congress, what do they do? Where do they go?
Well, once more, go to SaveThePostOffice.com. It's a remarkable website kept by actually a professor at NYU who's basically devoting his life to saving post offices. He lives in upstate New York, and I've been corresponding with him. And he's just done a terrific job of accumulating all of the information, and it constantly changes. So that's the go-to place to just get educated. And then go and look at your local post office and really look it over and just appreciate the care that went into it if it's one of the older post offices. If you live in Los Angeles, go to the Venice post office.
It's on the chopping block.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Well, I thank you for joining us, Dr. Gray Brechin.
Thank you very much for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Gray Brechin, an historical geographer and author. He's currently a visiting scholar in the UC Berkeley Department of Geography and founder and project scholar of California's Living New Deal Project. His books include Farewell Promised Land, Waking from the California Dream, and Imperial San Francisco, Urban Power, Earthly Ruin. So what did we learn on Background Briefing today? Well, we began talking with Jeff Madrick, who, along with Nobel economist Joe Stiglitz, was asked to address the demonstrators in the Occupy Wall Street movement down in New York's Zuccotti Park. He described the process where, because they won't allow any loud speakers, every sentence was repeated in unison by the crowd so that others in the crowd could hear it, and how it became an interesting exchange, Jeff Madrick found it very moving and found the demonstrators very, very inquisitive and educated and engaged. And they had were clearly interested in what Jeff had to say and what Joe Stiglitz had to say in terms of educating them about the Wall Street's predation and greed. Not that people aren't aware of it, but they were able to provide some details and insight. And he also said how he addressed the General Assembly, a larger group, and how the press been sort of downplaying this and being disdainful of these people for being leaderless and not having an agenda. And clearly he was describing people with an agenda, but a very democratic agenda. And perhaps that's what people are so offended by in the jaded press. Then we talked with Wendy Weiser from the Brennan Center for Justice. She heads up the democracy program there. She's just come up with a study, Voting Law Changes in 2012, a shocking detailed analysis of how systematically Republican legislatures and governors across the country are disenfranchising 5 million Americans ahead of next year's election. We talked about how in this country where everybody talks proudly about being the great democracy, this is happening, and what belated and somewhat inadequate measures are being taken to combat it. And then finally, we talked with Dr. Gray Breschen, who's a geographer. He's a historical geographer at UC Berkeley. And he was telling us about how these free market ideologues in Congress, they want to close 2,500 post offices immediately and plan to close 16,000 by 2020. And they're doing this in a manufactured crisis, like Naomi Klein described in crisis capitalism, to sell off all the assets in this valuable real estate. It's completely bogus, the reasons for doing, but yet another example of the ideologues in Congress stealing the country blind. I'm Ian Masters. This has been Background Briefing. I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing and Kim Nassiter. This program is available for podcasts, and you can sign up there at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.